Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the Product Purpose Cam Network, and this is the show Self Expression. And I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. Welcome, welcome everyone, whether you're calling online or you're listening via phone. I'd like to thank you for joining us for tonight's episode, which is episode 1163. And it's been a lot of episodes, and I'm happy to be part of some of those episodes. And if you want to call in, if you're online, you can call in at 319-527-6091, or you can call in at 323-870-4174. Anytime you want to talk to me, the host, you can just press the number 1. All right, and before we get started, I just want to let you know that we're going to cover a couple of scriptures. And the scriptures we're going to cover are going to be Mark chapter 1, verses 21 and 27, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 and 19, and Exodus chapter 4, 24 to 26. All right, and before I get started, I just want to let everybody know, you know, amid everything with the coronavirus, COVID-19 epidemic or pandemic, everybody wants to know. One of the main questions on their mind is when is relief coming? And basically, I did a little research on IRS. IRS.gov, okay, and there's also the CARES Act.gov. On there, they have a lot of information. You know, it's going to be a lot of reading that you probably have to go through. Basically, it lets you know where to, expect to, or how can you get your relief fund check. Now, basically, if you have already filed your income tax for 2019, automatically, if you did everything via direct deposit, there's nothing to add on. It should hit your account depending on your economic status. So they are giving out the refund checks via tax brackets. So if you fall in a lower tax bracket, you should get yours as soon as Wednesday. Everybody else, you can go to IRS.gov, where's my refund, and you'll get an estimated time frame there. If you haven't filed your tax returns for 2019 or 2018, you can update your information, or you can go ahead and upload your current tax information. And, based on that, and like I said, it's a lot of extensive reading you have to do. And that's pretty much, the refund information in a nutshell. So let me just go ahead and get back to on course to the show. Okay, so when I speak about, the government, I can't believe that they would allow, the general public to be exposed to, this pandemic that's going on now. They don't want to offer, free health care to us, but they are picking up the bill for, anyone affected by the COVID-19. And this is going to be a big bill, and it is going to be a huge bill. So is this our government's way of saying, I'm sorry? The government knows, when you're young, you don't even think about health care. I remember when I was 19, and, at one point I fell out of a moving car. I rolled over a couple times. I got up and brushed myself off, and, my friends, they came back and asked me, was I right? And the only thing I could think of, was just worrying about was I had back in the day, it was an Andre Velour sweatshirt, and it got a little ripped from me rolling out the car. And, my approach now, to healthcare, now that I'm 30 years old, is a lot more serious, And as of this past December, I was in the hospital for a procedure, and, and we have a good health care. You can see the difference, right away in the hospitality. because once I, you know, was in the hospital within an hour, you know, I was in a room and I was, you know, I was treated and, you know, everything. And with all the, you know, my observation of things that was happening, you know, everything was comfortable and, you know, I didn't have to worry about a lot of things. But the only thing I'm surprised is the advances of, you know, all the medical technology that, you know, we have advanced in. You know, they still haven't changed the hospital gown. And, you know, if you've been in a hospital or, you know, you had a procedure before, you know, pretty much what they give you is pretty much is like an open back miniskirt. And no one knows how to keep it shut. But, you know, the government puts, you know, basically on the money in God we trust. So the government believes in God, right? Well, it may seem so. But they took prayers out of school. So the government believes in God, or so they say. So I just want to go to my first scripture, which is going to be Luke chapter 17, verses 11 and 19. And so I'm going to read those verses right now. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And this is just, you know, how I perceive things. If the government believes in God, how come Ohio is the only state that believes so? You know, on the Ohio license plate says, "With God, all things are possible." Man, I think I need to register my car in Ohio. You know, amen. You know, Jesus didn't ask, you know, any of the lepers. And this is based on the government saying, "In God we trust." He didn't ask any of the lepers, "Do you have any health care? Are you a foreigner?" He didn't ask any questions. He healed them. He didn't ask a whole bunch of, you know, about a bunch of formalities. You know, "Do you have faith in God? Do you believe in me? Do you believe in my Father?" No, he cleansed them. The only question he asked is, "Where were the other 9? And the reason why he asked that is because if they ask him to have pity on him, and he says, you know, "Go to your priest." And with that, you know, he says, you know, that they're cleansed. But out of the 10, only one came back to thank him and praise him and praise God for his healing. And he let him know, "Go ahead, you can go, you're cleansed." You know, and you know, how they're, you know, basically the government take that stance. It seems like that's the stance that they're taking. They're taking what they should offer us, but ask a multitude of questions, a multitude of things, a multitude of formalities. Jesus didn't offer that. You know, so how dare this country says, "In God we trust." In God we trust, that's not what God would do. Yet they printed on the money. This money is circulated worldwide. It is recognized as the most recognized currency in the world. And at the bottom, it says, "In God we trust." But this country does not act in a godly manner. You know, it's, you know, that's just, you know, the way this country is just, you know, it's just based. And I just want to go ahead into my topic tonight, which is, I can't wait to get back to church. And the reason why, you know, I'm saying this is because now how amid the, you know, the COVID 19 pandemic and how things are, we have social distancing, and it's like right now it's like the way everything is set up that we're not going to be able to, attend church for a good while. You know, but I also want, you know, want you to understand how the devil uses people to bring unclean spirits into the church. And this is a great time to understand and recognize that before we even get back to church services where we can, you know, just, you know, fellowship with one another. But there are just circumstances that happen in church where we bring the unclean spirit. And so I'm going to cover right now Mark chapter 1, verses 21 and 27. And we'll just go in there. We're just going to go ahead and break everything down. Start with verse 21. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And just to break that down, I believe that, you know, the devil does go to church every Sunday. He probably goes to church more often than some of everybody professing to be Christians. You know, and he comes in the form of man. And then they just go ahead and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. So basically Satan cannot possess a Christian, but he can influence God's people. You know, the Bible speaks of the shield of faith wherein ye shall be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked. This tells us that the devil throws fiery darts to hurt, oppress, and discourage God's people. And what better place to do this, you know, do his dirty work than to work within the church? You know, a place where you would be, you know, expect to find help and encouragement, a place where you think it's safe. You know, a place you would think, you know, you could let your guard down and be at ease. Yet he shows up and brings his unclean presence, and he came on the back of a person. You know, so there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Let's just break down the church. You know, bringing an unclean spirit to the church. Why does this, just ask this question? Why does the devil go to church? You know, they constantly, basically because of what the congregation does, they constantly complain about the way things are at the church. They tear down everything and everyone. You know, they backbite, they gossip, they show discord among the brethren. They complain about the preaching. It's too hard. It's too soft. He should have said this. He should have said that. You know, and it seems someone always seems to find fault with everything. They find fault with the kids. They make too much noise. They make a mess. They find fault with the adults. You know, they do this, they do that. Yet, and still, they keep coming back. If it is bad as they say, why do you keep coming back? You know, and really, what's the common denominator here? Okay, and we'll just go where, you know, how the devil attacks. You know, and, you know, the devil is basically, he's the same way. So that's why he's drawn. That's how he can ease his spirit into the congregation. You know, he hates everything about the church. He hates prayer. He hates preaching. He really hates praising. He hates when God's people repent. You know, he hates when the lost get saved. He hates when, you know, Christians, you know, get it right. They rebound. You know, he hates the godly song and praise. He hates worship, yet he keeps coming back. He or his emissaries, you know, they have done this every service. They hate church, but they keep coming back. Why the devil keeps coming to church? Because he wants to keep the lost for believing in the gospel. And this is according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. So some think they have, you know, resisted the gospel because they are smarter than others. But the truth is, they're just easier targets. The devil blinded their eyes because he wants to use church members to disrupt the work of God. And that's according to John chapter 13 and 2. Judas was not a monster. He was a highly esteemed disciple of Christ. He was lost, but he was part of the church. He was lost, but he was part of the disciples. You know, there are often lost people in a church who have made a profession of faith, and often the devil uses them to destroy the church because he wants to oppress and discourage God's people. And, you know, we can go and refer to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh among seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accompanied in your brethren that are in the world. And that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Because he wants to use God's people, you know, basically to show discord in the faith and church. And, you know, he has always used this tool time and time again, and that's demonstrated in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. You know, the whole chapter is about putting off, you know, putting off the new. It's about being godly and holy people. And in the middle of exhortation of godliness, the apostle says, neither give place to the devil, which means it's possible for a Christian to give place to the devil. It's possible for a Christian to let the devil use him or her. It's possible for a Christian to bring unclean spirit into the church, an unclean spirit at church, an unclean spirit of jealousy, which is demonstrated in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 7. Envy, jealousy, causes strife and division. The word strife means to fight. Division means groups separating among themselves. The church at Corinthians was plagued with an unclean spirit of jealousy. You know, it was obviously, you know, what was going on with the congregation. And, you know, you can notice that, you know, what they were jealous about. You know, they were envious about who led them to the Lord. One said, I am Paul. And the other said, well, I am of Apollos. Paul said, what difference does it make? Christ is the Savior. But the wicked spirit of jealousy, you know, it revealed how vain they were. It is one thing to fight in the church about doctrine and, you know, so forth and so forth, you know, because there's a lot of theological teachings. And there are, you know, like I say, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And so how one, you know, preaches or how one delivers the word, yes, that's debatable. But what's going on now is there was just even further more, it was more further division among the church. So, you know, but, you know, the fight about who won their version of their gospel, to Christ it doesn't matter. You know, to fight about, you know, which are, you know, the converts and which are yours to keep and which are yours not, you know, we all walk as men. So the devil uses God's people to cause strife and division in the church. Jealousy can become a wicked, ungodly spirit of the devil. There was in there, you know, the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit. Now, we keep coming back to that part right there. It was a man with an unclean spirit. When, let's just break that down, unclean, real quickly. Unclean, and you know, a lot of words come from the Latin language. Unclean in Latin means avoid. Avoid unclean spirits. And another part of unclean spirit is pride. Pride is hated by God. You know, these six things doth the Lord hate. Ye seven are abomination unto him, a proud look. Thus has rebuked the proud. And that's covered in Psalms 119, verses 21. The Apostle James tells us, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. It's plain and simple. God hates pride. Pride cancels your prayers. There they cry, but none giveth answer, because the pride of evil men, God will not hear vanity. He will not hear vanity. He will not listen. We accuse God of not answering our prayers, but it's our own pride that hinders our prayers. Pride brings judgment. Pride brings judgment. Pride goes before destruction, and it hinders the spirit before it falls. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Pride is the root of bitterness. Only by pride cometh contention. He that is proud of heart, you know, they want to strive. The Apostle James tells us the three origins of pride. And this is according to James chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. If ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And the three essential earthly of the world, being of the world, sensual is of the flesh, and devilish is of the devil. Pride takes no prisoners and destroys everything it touches. It is sort of the anti-Midas touch. So it's like everything it touches, it's going to eventually destroy. The church is destroyed by its congregation. There was, you know, in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit. Is the devil using you to bring unclean spirit into the church? An unclean spirit is complaining. And that is covered in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 17. Do all things without murmurings. If there ever was a scourge that happens upon the congregation, it's basically a murmuring. God's people are among the most unhappy people on earth, it seems like. If you just look at each and every congregation that you after service, you always hear somebody complaining about something. Complaining is a wretched habit from hell. But it's doubly evil when Christians do so. Yet among God's people, an attitude of murmuring has arisen that defies explanation. What is murmuring? To utter complaint, to express discontent, to grumble. To grumble, to rebel, literally, to stand against. When we murmur, we are standing against God. We are rebelling against God. God's view of murmuring is basically simple. It betrays the most deplorable ignorance. It manifests the most obstinate impedance to glory. It reveals itself as the worst part of arrogance of the nature of human people. God and to his church, and how dare they let the devil use them to basically tear down things of God, which is the congregation. So let the devil use them to bring a bad spirit into the church. It's up to that person, and it's up to the congregants. You know, they're, you know, basically in the synagogue of man, it is the congregation. The congregation as a whole has to act. You know, and I'm not saying has to act as far as, you know, reprimand. You know, we all have our spiritual leaders. You know, we have our pastors, our ministers, our reverends. And we all think that they're too busy. But we can't bring it to someone's attention where they can eventually get it, you know, let the pastor know. Maybe that one day when, you know, everybody's saying, wow, this sermon is all about me. Wow. How did he know this? Well, maybe they need that awakening. Maybe they need, you know, that spiritual attention. You know, so there are signs, basically, that, you know, that we all, you know, at some time harboring, you know, basically an unclean spirit. When you're disobedient, when, you know, we have the no one tells me what to do attitude, you know, it's a sure sign that you are harboring an unclean spirit. Jesus is the master and our Lord. And I don't need to say that. Jesus is our master and our Lord. Yet the Bible says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus submitted himself to the Father, not because he was or is inferior, but to show us that obedience is the right attitude. When we harbor a bad spirit, it will manifest itself in the form of disobedience. It will manifest itself. When you have deliberately chosen to harden your heart, people may be able to, you know, control some of the things that, you know, happens basically in their life, but no one can control how they feel about it. You know, you can control your own feelings. People may be able to affect your actions, but no one can affect your attitude. You control your own attitude. If you come into, you know, church mad, you know, you had a flat tire, or, you know, you ran out of gas, or, you know, it's basically that's that bad attitude that you come into church with, you know, and, you know, you may be able to blame, you know, what caused this attitude, you know, it might be someone else, but, you know, you can't blame your bitter, disgruntled spirit on anyone else. You know, if you come to church, you know, cranky, if you come to church looking to pick a fight, if you come to church with a bad spirit, it was a deliberate choice on your own. And a sure sign that you are harboring an unclean spirit when you're disobedient. You know, when you have deliberately chosen, when you have become basically dull in the eyesight of God, because, you know, that attitude thing, that's, you know, come on. You know, when you no longer care about, the things of God, when you miss a lot of church and it doesn't bother you, when your prayer life is falling apart and you don't care, when your Bible collects dust, dullness toward the things of God is a sure sign that you're harboring an unclean spirit. The devil has put a monkey on your back, literally. And it is basically lulling you to sleep. And I remember I heard someone say that, you know, every time I read a scripture in the Bible, I forget who it was and what scripture they said. It's like, I always get sleepy. That's a double trying to, you know, one last tactic to get you to just, you know, discourage you from reading the Bible and learning. You know, when you're not ashamed of that feeling, you know, you should learn, you know, some of, or let me just rephrase that. You might want to resharpen some of the sharper tools you have as far as, you know, some of the things that, you know, we always combat the devil. You know, there's no doubt about it. We're always combating the devil, and we're always fighting a battle that we want to win, you know, and that's why when they say you want to put on the whole armor of the Lord, this is what it means, because we do want to put on the whole armor of the Lord. You know, we do want to make sure we fight the good fight against this devil that's constantly persistent, constantly lurking, constantly trying to find a pinhole to get into our life. You know, I'm just going to take a brief little break and just let you know that this is Self-Expressions, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. Anybody online that wants to call in, you can call in at 319-527-6091. You can also call in at 323-870-4174. Anytime you want to talk to me, the host, you can press the number 1. Also, yesterday, I just want to just put it out there. I will put this into the announcements, but yesterday we had our 7 Last Words sermon, and we had a multitude of hosts that were doing the last 7 words. So anytime you want, if you've missed it, you can go back into our archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. Simply type in the last 7 words. Service, and you can hear that service, and it was a very good service. It was 2 hours long, so yeah, if you want to hear a good service, go ahead to our archives and listen to that. So we just want to get back into you know, where we're at. It used to be a man's word and its integrity were very important. Today, many care less about honor, integrity in a man's word. You know, when you get so robotic like that, you can act like a monkey in church. You know, when you're not ashamed to show everyone how selfish and how vain you are, you know, people come into the church and they think that they can act like they are, you know, in a barnyard. But don't forget, this is God's house. You know, you pitch a fit in front of God's people and don't care, you know, who's around, because you are more concerned about your own feelings than God's honor. When you're disobedient, when you have deliberately chosen, when you have become dull, when you have not ashamed of dishonor, it's a sure sign that you're harboring an unclean spirit. You know, it's easy to tell, you know, tell one who's not ashamed of dishonor. You know, they don't even try to hide, you know, their bad attitude. They're mad and they want everyone to know it. You know, let me tell you something. You have no right to come to God's house and set that foul mood. God sets the mood in his house. When he shows up, you know, and begins to bless his people, he sets the mood. That's right. He sets the mood. You know, who do you think you are coming into, you know, church and pushing your weight around? Pushing your weight around. I'm not talking about someone who, you know, with a broad street bully or something, coming in sad, looking for some kind of a sympathetic outburst. I'm talking about someone that has a grudge, coming in mad, you know, looking to pick a fight, you know. When you're disobedient, when you have deliberately chosen, when you have become that vain, when you're not ashamed of dishonor, it is a sure sign that you're harboring an unclean spirit. And, you know, we need to work on, you know, just seeing the signs and knowing, you know, the people are coming into, you know, into our sanctuary with an unclean spirit. You know, that unclean spirit, you know, and then it seems like, you know, people forget, you know, what we're doing instead of just, you know, even seeing if they can reach that person. You know, and sometimes they figure, well, oh, I think they're getting a lot of attention doing it. You know, maybe I should do the same thing too. Maybe, you know what they say, you know, closed mouth don't get fed. But you know what they say? Those that make the saying don't make it right. Okay, so basically, you know, now I've told you, you know, or showed you some examples of unclean spirits. So how to deal with an unclean spirit? You know, recognize that our battle is not, you know, it's not in vain. Spiritual battle. And that's, you know, according to 2 Corinthians verses 10, verses 3 and 4. You know, our fight is not with people, but with a spiritual enemy. You know, we only fight with people when we are, you know, basically too vain to see the spiritual battle. You know, the devil deceives us into thinking that, you know, other Christians are, you know, basically to blame for our problems. You know, when he himself, you know, he's causing basically the root of our problems. You know, after he has knocked us down, you know, he begins to make us think that it was someone in the church that hurt us. It was someone else that knocked us down. You know, quit being, you know, so vain and worldly minded. You know, there are bigger things going on then basically meets the eyes. You know, show some spiritual discernment. You know, recognize our weapons, and, you know, they're basically not, you know, some casual thing, but it's spiritual. Instead of fighting fire with fire, try fighting with love. You know, if thy enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, but not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We don't really believe, you know, the Bible, do we? You know, we don't believe you can overcome evil with good. Yes, we do. We don't believe in, you know, making things harder on the other person. So what if I was to test you? You know, we're fighting a spiritual battle. Basically, you know, it's spiritual warfare. You know, instead of complaining and yelling, why don't you pray? You know, recognize the possibility of becoming, you know, bitter. Bitterness defies many, you know. Least any root of bitterness, you know, spring up trouble. And let me start again. Least any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defied. You know, we must do all we can to avoid becoming bitter. You know, bitterness is it's a real cancer. Bitterness is just like cancer. You know, sometimes with bitterness, you know, and just like cancer, sometimes we try to get it removed. It's something foreign that shouldn't be in our body. We do all we can to get it out. And sometimes what happens is the cancer may go in remission. And then it may come back. Well, it's the same thing that happens to us spiritually, too. You know, once bitterness is a cancer. Once it's in us, it's hard to get rid of. It's hard to get it out of our system. You know, just like we try to spiritually, you know, exercise it out of us. You know, it's the same thing with people that go through chemotherapy. But the only thing, only difference is, you know, we are rebuilding, re-cleansing our spirit. You know, that dedication that we dedicate ourselves to God, sometimes we have to do a rededication because sometimes one try is not all. Sometimes it may take us many chances. You know, the many chances we take, it doesn't matter as long as we get it right. You know, that bitterness is just a festering cancer until you get rid of it into its entirety. And it's the same thing, bitterness in your heart. We have bitterness, you know, there's only one way to get rid of bitterness, and that is to forgive. You know, when bitterness happens, you know, why are we bitter at this person or that person? And it just festers and festers. Sometimes the sight of someone or something may trigger this bitterness, this hatefulness. And the bitterness is like the first step in the ladder. It's like you have that bitterness. It festers on to disobedience, to dishonor. You know, if you eliminate taking that first step, you know, you can go a long way. That bitterness is what you have to, you know, just exercise out of your heart. It is a festering cancer. And, you know, with that bitterness, you know, it devours everything it comes in contact with. You know, this unclean spirit has invaded our churches. And, you know, basically, if you know, you're a good Christian, it should trouble you. I am concerned for the church. I am afraid many will be defiled. You know, recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. You know, recognize that we are weapons and we must be spiritual. We can't be in vain, recognizing the possibility of becoming bitter. You know, recognize that the devil attacks us from within. It is very rare, you know, for the devil to launch an outside attack. You know, he almost always finds someone on the inside to help him. You know, basically he gets someone to help him infiltrate, you know, our spirit. You know, the Great Wall of China penetrated at least 3 times by the enemy, and each time it was because the guards were bribed. The devil is looking for an associate basically within the church. And he's looking for that, you know, that person that is, you know, that's easy sway, where he can get inside, basically that inside man to help him, to get him in. You know, so it, you know, this is where, you know, we have to, you know, we have to love ourselves first before we can love, you know, love one another. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that when we walk into the sanctuary, we're not walking in with an unclean spirit. We're walking in there with a clean spirit. And this is going to take me to, you know, my last verse that I had, which was Exodus chapter 4, verses 24 and 26. Now, we all know that God has, you know, a certain amount of patience. You know, and everybody might, you know, this listening may want to read this verse with me, because this is something that I found kind of shocking in the Bible. And so while I'm talking, I'll let you go ahead and see if y'all can go ahead and get Exodus chapter 4, verses 24 and 26. And as I was saying, it was kind of shocking because I know God, you know, basically he has he's fed up with some people. Sometimes he put people in places that he wants them in, and he's the author and finisher. And sometimes if, you know, he feels as though you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you know, he can say, you know what, I can eradicate all of you in just a blink of my eye, of an eye. And he demonstrated this to Moses. And the reason why is because Moses knew better. And it's a lot of times we know better. We know we're not supposed to do this. We're not supposed to do that. But Moses, you know, he's moseying along, doing things in his manner, you know. And Moses had that disobedient spirit. So God had a message for him, and I'm just going to go ahead and read it. And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you have a husband of blood to me, so let him go. Then she said, you are husband of blood because of the circumcision. Now, the reason why, you know, this incident happened was because Moses knew on the eighth day his son was supposed to be circumcised. Moses was moseying along. You know, moseying along, like, oh, yeah. But God was just fed up. God was going to meet and kill him. His wife knew that. She knew that, so she had to intercede. And how Zipporah interceded for her husband is how we needed to step in our congregation and intercede for our fellow brethren. Now, she done that because that was her husband, and she knew what God was going to do. She knew God was going to kill him because he was being disobedient. And she stepped in and did the circumcision. And also she let him know, you know, basically it was like, in your ignorance, look, you know, and she threw the foreskin at his feet to let him know that, you know, for your ignorance, it almost got you killed. You should have just did the circumcision. And she also wanted to let God know that, you know, the circumcision was done. Please don't kill my husband. And, you know, within that, you know, it just lets you, you know, even though that was, you know, back in you know, those times, in the Old Testament times, it still holds true today. You know, you never know what, we don't have that thought of what God has in mind. He may have a specific thing for us to do and a specific time for us to do it. And if we don't do it, who knows what God thinks. But we know we should be obedient and shouldn't have that arrogant attitude, because that attitude, you never know how he may want to enforce, you know, his law. And basically he expects us to obey the laws of the land, but most importantly, we have to respect his law. With that being said, I'm just going to go ahead and go into the call of salvation. I'm going to do the announcements, and then I'll just go ahead and end the show. The call of salvation is pretty simple. It's just that interaction with letting God know that you accept the sacrifice of his son who died on the cross on Calvary for our sins. You know, when he did that, that was his only begotten son. And it was something that he wanted to do for us. You know, he died without sin because he was dying. He died for our sins. Because at that time, we needed someone to intercede. And just like, you know, God decided that he was going to go ahead and kill Moses, God easily could have came to that assumption, but he promised us that he wasn't going to do that again. So that's why he sent his son, because he wanted him to intercede, to act in our behalf, to basically die for our sins so we could be washed anew. And, you know, and today, if you, you know, if you're listening and you want to dedicate your life to Christ, you know, one of the basic things you're going to say is, you know, God, I am a sinner. I do not wish to remain a sinner. I wish to be right with you. I want to be washed, cleansed. I want to be born anew. And Father God, I thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son to intercede for my sins. And with that, or you say something that's kind of similar to that, you know, you're saved. You know, and you can just tell someone. You can just let someone know. You can text him. You can FaceTime him. Not only this time, you know, we got to make sure we keep that social distance, so you can FaceTime him. And you can just, you know, let him know that you turned your life over to Christ. And one of the next things, you know, we suggested you do, you find a Bible-believing teaching sanctuary that'll nurture you in the word of Christ. You know, right now, you know, there are so many, you know, physically, you know, we can't go into the sanctuary where, you know, it's going to be just not enough space. But there are virtual congregations, and tomorrow there are virtual Easter services that you can, you know, that you can watch. Or you can listen to, just like this, you know, this podcast that we're doing here tonight. You know, please, you know, find and seek out some kind of spiritual sanctuary. If you can't find that, that's why we're here. We'll be broadcast almost each and every night here at Purpose Kingdom Network. You know, we can be that church without walls here. And that's virtually what we're, you know, that we need to be a part of, a church without walls. And this truly is a church without walls. So feel free to come back here each and every night that we're able to broadcast. And we, you know, we thank you so much for just allowing, you know, allowing you a part of just, you know, what we're doing here. And we thank and appreciate, you know, what you do. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns, or you can just simply send a prayer request. We'll gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. And we're also on iTunes and LinkedIn and Google+, where you can hear some of our past and previous broadcasts. Or you can just like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And don't forget to share with a friend when you like our Facebook page and just tell a friend. And like I said, with our links on our Facebook page, you can go to our Morning Word of Inspiration, which is on Anchor.com or Anchor FM on the Purpose Kingdom, where you can get a Morning Word of Inspiration. And, you know, don't forget to share with a friend. You know, tell your mom or somebody, or say, hey, you know, someone that just really appreciates, you know, just hearing a word, just share with them. You said, I know, like, they're on anchor.com or Anchor FM. Or, like I said, follow links on our social media pages where you can just get a morning word of inspiration. And we'll also have our past and previous broadcast, like I told you earlier, on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, where you can simply type in the host name and the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And like I said, yesterday we had our last seven words service. You can go in there, type in last seven words, and you'll go ahead and you'll be able to hear that broadcast from last night, which was 2 hours and it's very good. You might want to, if you don't have any services to listen to on tomorrow, go ahead and just either download that or go ahead and listen to that broadcast. And we had a multitude of hosts. It was MC by Sister Adrian, and Sister Dominique started off. We also had Evangelist Trina, Reverend Arthur Burgess, Reverend Maureen Lee. We had Pastor Toy, we had Elder Charles Lee, and we had Minister Bernard doing the summary. So it's pretty good service, and I hope you enjoyed it if you're listening to it. And if you would like so, please listen so again. And like I said, that's on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. You type in last seven words. And like I said, don't forget to share it with a family member or friend. And it's a good service to listen to. We'd like to thank each and every one of you for calling in or listening into the show. No matter in the world where you're at, we thank and appreciate your listenership and your support. Anytime you want to call into the show online, from online or online call our listeners, you can call in at 319-527-6091, or you can call in at 323-870-4174, and you just hit the number one if you want to talk. All right, so we're just winding up everything today, and I was just, recapping on, bringing that unclean spirit to church. And I just wanted to make sure I had demonstrated it, in many different ways, how unclean spirit and how the devil just, creeps in and just try to find that little pinhole where he can just get in and he can infiltrate the congregation, and basically make his way into our sanctuary. And I did say I was going to go ahead and repeat the beginning of the show of some of the information I have as far as the COVID-19 relief. So if anybody's wondering about or they're just curious or not sure of any of the information that's out there, basically you can go to the CaresAct.org, or you can go to IRS.gov, and it's / where's my refund. Basically, you get your information, and basically it's the release time of the funds that they intend. And like I said before, if you file for your taxes in 2018 and 2019, they will automatically, send the funds to those accounts. If you have not filed for both years, those funds, you can go to IRS.gov, and you can just update your information. And there's many various ways. And let me just give you this advisory. On the website, there's links to where you can get a quick loan and things like that. Just be careful with that, because it's not the government sponsored. It's not government sponsored, and there is just somebody that's attached links to the pages, just like anybody else's personal web page, Facebook page, and stuff like that. They can get hacked, so you just want to make sure that you pay attention to what you're doing, and making sure basically when you go on websites, you're making sure you're just doing this to get information. Nothing else, because unless whatever you're seeking out on these websites, a lot of times with these attachments, they have nothing to do with the website you're on. So just, please just be careful. And people in time of need are, find themselves being victims of people that's basically predatory. All right. And that's all the information I have on that. And as always, once I get more details and things like that, I'll pass those along to our co-hosts. And, if I can, when I do the daily announcements, I'll go ahead and I'll give that update. But, everything in a nutshell, I've had fun doing the broadcast, as always. Like I said, I always love broadcasting. And it's just one of the things I find, no matter how time-consuming and doing things, I just really enjoy it. And I just enjoy, basically passing and informing, fellow Christians, some information that we may not know, or just basically I'm discovering some of this stuff myself, because, I wasn't always, like I am now. I was basically, a full-time sinner. And I spent most of my time finding ways not to do good than to actually just go out and do good. And it was actually, I've had a harder time in spending energy it's, you know, finding ways to, you know, just get over, you know, and until finally, you know, it's, you know, the way I am, I'm more comfortable, I'm more relaxed, whereas though I'm not looking over my shoulder, I'm not worrying about what I did last week and is it going to catch up to me. I'm not worried about who's knocking on my door and, you know, things of that nature. You know, you know, I feel comfortable and happy, you know, the way I am. And it's, you know, it's been, you know, it's been fun and it's been enjoyable, you know. One of the things, you know, that I learned to, you know, appreciate is, you know, my positivity and how, you know, how it can expand and it can be infectious. You know, when I was negative, it seemed like, you know, I was always bumping up into negative because I was always attracted negative because I was already negative. And now that I'm more positive, I'm attracting more positive things. You know, and it was just that attitude that I had. And that's, you know, one of the part of, you know, that attitude, you know, especially when I find myself, you know, with going to job interviews and I'm like, they're not going to hire me anyway, you know, and so it's like when I got the news, oh, no, you're not hired or whatever. Or, you know, and, you know, God is amazing. You know, when I walked in the doors, I was like, you know, well, I think I didn't have no right to, you know, or no qualifications to get certain jobs. I go in there and I walk out, I'm like, wow, oh, I'm hired, you know. And it was just some of those things. And it was one of the ways I was eventually getting nudged to, you know, to where I am now. And so it's like experiencing that bitter experience and that just reckless, you know, way of thinking that I had before, you know, I didn't know it was going to steer me this way eventually. So I just thank God for that happening. And I'm just going to wrap things up. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9 o'clock. We will be broadcasting at 9 o'clock. So please don't forget to tell a friend and please join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour. I'd like to thank each and every one of you again for listening. No matter where in the world you're listening, I just appreciate it. You know, I'll be back in another 2 weeks. And it will be, you know, same time, 8:30, and that's going to be on the 25th. And like I said, I can't wait to see y'all again. Thank y'all. Don't forget to love one another. If you can't love yourself, there's no way you can love anybody else. So with that being said, like I said, had a great time tonight. Can't imagine doing anything else tonight. And I am just about to sign off. Peace.
Jesus bled. He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. I will not lose. Never want to see me down.